have an anthem of hope. We have a reason to praise. We are redeemed and restored. You are the great liberator. You ransomed us from our shame. Now by the blood of the Savior, everything broken will change.
Truth with freedom. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the grace and freedom that you give us, even though we don't deserve it. It's
just... Who else could rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine? Creation longs to have the words to sing. But this joy is mine.
Sing a thousand.
With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord Jesus. This song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. You wells could die for our redemption, whose resurrection means our rise.
That were there on Thursday, we had such a great time in the presence of God, and you know, it was just so good declaring the goodness of God over and over. And I just got this great revelation as we kept singing, "You are good, you are good." And sometimes we sing that so somber, we sing it, "You are good, you are good." But no, I was encouraged to lift my eyes and keep declaring it, and I had such joy in my heart because I finally found that truth that you are good. You are good. I can celebrate because you are good. No matter what we face, you are good. No matter what we're going through, you are good. So I encourage you this morning, whatever you're going through, He is good. He's not causing this in your life. He's there to support you. He's there to come alongside you. He's not the one causing it. And so I just encourage you to stir your faith this morning, even though it's hard. He is good. He's alongside you. He's there to walk beside you. And as we sing this song, we're just going to declare His goodness. And He is more than enough. Because you're more than enough for me, God. I encourage you, just to close your eyes and raise your hands as an act of surrender, as an act of obedience, saying, God, I don't know what my circumstance is going to bring, but I know you do, and I know you're good. And if that's all that I know, that's enough for me.
Oh, you are Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough.
Let's keep singing that. Sing Jireh.
Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough.
Sing Jireh.
Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The literal translation for that word want is lack. We're just singing that, Jireh, you are enough. And the Lord is enough. There's plenty of needs. I know in my own family, we need prayer for healing and health around. There's financial needs. I'm just going to encourage you, if you're here now or if you're at home, move up to the front. Take that step forward. Come to the front. There's power in telling your body that I'm not going to stay in the circumstance that I am by moving forward and coming to the front for prayer. This thing.
Oh, you're enough, Jireh. You are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine. That is enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen, I know who I am.
Let him speak to you this morning.
I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine. That is enough. You spoken. I'm more.
Just sing your praises to him this morning. He's worthy of it all. Jesus. It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. Now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy, worthy is your name, Jesus. Shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forever.
The name.
this opportunity to worship you this morning. Thank you that we'd never take that for granted, Lord, because you are so worthy of our praise. You've given us this freedom to come and worship you, and we don't want to take that lightly, God. And as we come into a time of remembering what you've done, I ask that you would open our hearts. So you may be seated. May you just give Mark a hand as he comes and does communion this morning.
Thanks, Penny. Thanks, thanks, team. That was good praise and worship this morning. My name's Mark, and it's my privilege to share communion with you this morning. I think you all know by now how to open these awesome cups we've got, so anytime you want, you can open them while I'm talking. So I'm going to share communion with you today. Ruth and I have currently doing Read the Bible in 1 year with commentary added, and it's by Nikki Gumbel. And part of our readings this week included the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The story and some of the words Nikki shared got me thinking about communion and the amazing display of Jesus' power over life and death, as well as to forgive our sins. So we find the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. The chapter begins telling us that Lazarus is sick and he lives with his sisters Mary and Martha in Bethany. Because he was sick, they sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." So in verse 4, we read, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this.'" From reading this, you think Jesus is going to quickly jump in the car and go and save him, so to speak. But that's not what he did at all. He stays where he was for two more days before beginning the journey to see Lazarus. And the delay seems a bit strange. Why wouldn't he head straight there? He could have healed and stopped him from dying. But through this story, we get to see something much more than a healing. We see the resurrection power of Jesus, not just for himself, but for others. So if we go on down to verse 11, "Then he said, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up.' And the disciples said, 'Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better.' They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you really believe. Come on, let's go to him.' When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that God will give whatever you ask.' Jesus told her, 'Your brother will rise again.' 'Yes,' Martha said, 'he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day.' Jesus told her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?' 'Yes, Lord,' she told him. 'I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God.' Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, 'The teacher is here. He wants to see you.' So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep, so they followed her there. When Mary arrived,
and saw Jesus, she fell to his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him? But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe. Sorry, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. So, it's a bit of a story, but we got there. So in the story, we see the full human side of Jesus. He was Lazarus's friend. He loved him and wept for him. Yet we also see that Jesus is the answer to death. I'd like to share some of the devotion that I read with this passage. Nikki said, there is life beyond the grave. Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who believes in Jesus will rise again from the dead. As a foretaste of the future, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Let's let that sink in for a moment. Everyone who believes in Jesus will rise again from the dead. And it's not going to be temporary, but forever. That's pretty hard to imagine. Nikki goes on to say, this resurrection power is within you. Paul writes to the Church of Rome, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give you life, your mortal bodies, because of his spirit who lives in you. That's in Romans 8:11. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis of your future hope. How powerful, how privileged are we to have the power of God living in us? All we have to do is believe. If we confess that he is Lord and ask for forgiveness of our sins, then we are saved. If we believe, then right here, right now, we are already resurrected. The emblems that we hold here today serve as a constant reminder of the selfless act Jesus did for us on the cross. And as a reminder of what God himself did, sacrificing his one and only Son, a totally innocent and selfless Son for our sins, the love of God is immeasurable. The power of Jesus to conquer death is undeniable. In the story of Lazarus, he who is life restores life. And we have this assurance today that when we live with him, death cannot conquer or diminish this truth in any way, for Jesus is risen. So let us take the biscuit and the juice together, and then I will pray. Lord, thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you that all we have to do is believe and we are saved. Thank you that through the raising of Lazarus from the dead, you show us that you have power to not only raise yourself from the dead, but others. Thank you that you conquered death. Thank you that no matter what comes our way in this life, we have the assurance of eternal life with you. Thank you that this eternal life started the day we accepted you as Lord. Thank you for the biscuit and the juice that serve as a reminder to us of your ultimate sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite Pastor Rob to share a word of God.